The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, we began to consider the question of how did the material part of the universe that we can perceive exist if nothing preceded it? How do you deal with the discontinuity between nothing and something? I was in the process of reading a quote from Isaac Asimov. Now, many people are aware this was one of the most prolific writers of our time. And Dr. Asimov wrote in a variety of areas, science fiction and all kinds of areas, various areas of science. So he is certainly a well-known individual and certainly was not shy about the fact that he was an evolutionist. Now, I was reading two comments from an article that he had written in the Science Digest back in April of 1974. And the title of the article was, What is Beyond the Universe? Let me interrupt this with reminding you that this discussion is of necessity philosophical or theoretical, not scientific. Because we're dealing again with one of those areas that simply defies the possibility of human perception about it. And we've tried to establish that humans using their senses to gather information are a very basic foundational requirement for something to be science. And if that is not possible, then you are not discussing something that is science. You're discussing philosophy or perhaps religion. Now, on page 79 of that, this was volume 69 of Science Digest. On page 69, there were two sections I want to quote. I quoted the last one last time. Let me repeat that quote. Where did the substance of the universe come from? What is beyond the edge of the universe? End quote. Now, I want you to listen carefully to the next comment. Again, you got to think a little bit. If zero, quote, if zero equals plus one plus minus one, then something which is zero might just as well become plus one and minus one. Perhaps in an infinite sea of nothingness, globs of positive and negative energy in equal size pairs are constantly forming. And after passing through evolutionary changes, combining once more and vanishing, we are in one of these globs in a period of time between nothing and nothing and wondering about it. End quote. I don't know how carefully you paid attention to that, but I hope you listened carefully enough to understand that his statement is absolutely unscientific. It is simply speculation, pure and simple, and in my opinion, foolish speculation. Now, let me make a comment about a couple of things he's saying. If zero equals plus one, in parenthesis, plus minus one, just a mathematical statement, then something which is zero might just as well become plus one and minus one. Now, this is Asimov's attempt to deal with the question of how nothing can produce something, or how something can come from nothing. There is nothing realistic. There is nothing experimental. It is pure and simple speculation. Perhaps in an infinite sea of nothingness. Now, roll that one around for a minute. An infinite sea of nothingness. Now, if it's nothingness, it's a little bit difficult to conceive of it being a sea. I don't want to be unduly fussy about this. I don't know what Asimov had in mind. I'm certain he was intelligent enough to understand something of the contradiction in the words he was using. But at least that's what he put out. In an infinite sea of nothingness, now listen carefully, globs of positive and negative energy. Now, if there is nothingness, where did these globs of energy suddenly come from? And notice it is not only positive energy, but negative energy as well. And it would seem to me, using his own picture here, that they would simply negate one another and you'd end up with nothing. Now, it is in this context that he is trying to argue to give an answer for where something could have come from nothing. Now, if this is an appealing notion to you, fine. But I'm simply saying to you, it is dead sure not science. In my opinion, it is contrary even to good sense. And it certainly is contrary to the scripture. So you have a person, and I'm sure there are many people who would be hardly comfortable with Asimov's attempts here. And I'm not fussing about that. I do disagree adamantly with them about it. But I just want everybody concerned to understand that this, it certainly isn't true. It is an assumption. And in my opinion, it doesn't even attain the level of a good assumption. It is a poor assumption. It is intrinsically contradictory. But at least that was his comment. Globs of positive and negative energy in equal size pairs are constantly forming. Now, if that were true, then it would seem to me that this ought to still be going on around us someplace. There ought to be somewhere in the universe we would be able to detect this kind of thing going on. And there certainly has been no evidence that it has or is occurring. Globs of positive and negative energy in equal size pairs are constantly forming. Now, listen carefully. After passing through evolutionary changes. So we have this infinite sea of nothingness, which is really not nothingness. It really contains globs of positive and negative energy, and that these are constantly forming and presumably deteriorating, and after passing through evolutionary changes. So in this infinite sea of nothing, we have our magical, mysterious evolution at work. And again, when we talked about natural selection and some of the other theories of evolution, we discussed this notion at some length, and I won't rehearse all of that now. After passing through evolutionary changes, combining once more and vanishing. In other words, they form mysteriously. They exist for a while, long enough certainly for evolution to act on them, and then somehow they just disappear again. Now, this is certainly not an accurate summation of the universe in which we find ourselves. In my opinion, it is a very foolish notion about how the universe that we live in could have come into existence. And I'm sure that would be worth arguing in some. Now, he winds up the comment and says, we're in just one of these globs. We're in one of these globs of positive and negative energy before it disappears. So I would assume would have been open to the possibility that, and we're talking about something now that at least is thousands of years long, and if you're an evolutionist, then we're talking about billions of years. So this period of the globs of positive and negative energy in our case has been occurring for billions of years, but presumably at some point they're just going to disappear. And where that would leave us all should be rather interesting. We are in one of those globs, in one of these globs, in the period of time between nothing and nothing, and wondering about it. Now, you can take whatever, you can respond to this however you want to. There are a number of thoughts that come to my mind. One is that this is certainly not a very reassuring, comfortable view of nature, of the universe, of the world. I want to be kind and civil, but it is simply a notion that beggars my imagination. I do not understand how an intelligent, thoughtful person would express such an idea seriously. Now, if this is science fiction or something else, that's fine, but in the context of that article in the Science Digest, it certainly wasn't, there's no indication of that. Now, there is another article I want to quote a couple of paragraphs to you from. This was written by a man by the name of Darling, David Darling. It was written in The New Scientist, Volume 151, September 14, 1996, relatively recent. The title of the article was, quote, On Creating Something from Nothing, end quote, which again is precisely the question that we find ourselves dealing with at the moment. Again, I want you to listen carefully to the man's comments. quote, "What is a big deal? The biggest deal of all is how you get something out of nothing," end quote. And I would be inclined to agree with that. How is this possible? Do we ever see this happening around us? Look at whatever organism or stuff you want to. Do we ever have trees coming from nothing, or people, or rocks for that matter? And the answer obviously is not. This is absolutely contrary to our human experience. Now, though you can fuss over what the answer really is, we certainly do not have any evidence in nature around us that would suggest this as a likely answer, likely a suitable answer to the question. Now, listen to the next paragraph, interestingly. Quote, "Don't let the cosmologists are people who speculate about origins. Don't let the cosmologists try to kid you on this one. They have not got a clue either." And I'll interrupt the quote, but you need to underline that in your mind several times. It is exactly true. They don't have a clue about how this happened. So when you're reading somebody's discussion of how something came from nothing, just understand he didn't have a clue. This is an absolute mental construct. And it is my opinion that most of these mental constructs, this whole approach, is an attempt to remove a sinful man from supposed submission to a creator God. I don't think there's anything more complicated than that. "They have not got a clue either, despite the fact that they are doing a pretty good job of convincing themselves and others that this is really not a problem." Now, I talked about that a little bit on a previous program a couple of times ago. Despite the fact that they're doing a pretty good job of convincing themselves and others that this is really not a problem. "In the beginning," they will say, "there was nothing. No time, space, matter, or energy. Then there was a quantum fluctuation from which," whoa, stop right there. This is Darling's comment now, not mine. Stop right there. I think this is probably a good stopping point because we're almost into this program. Here's a man writing about this and pointing out correctly that these kinds of statements are simply mental constructs. They are presumptions, assumptions. There is nothing real or factual about them.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.